Anna Murray in the afternoon.
Welcome back to today's show. Going over to the States now to introduce Mark Elswick. Nearly two decades ago, Mark proved medical experts wrong when they said he would die following a car accident. After a week of life support, he spent a month in a coma whilst doctors said he would live life as a vegetable if he ever regained consciousness. Not only did he survive, but he's now written a humorous book raising awareness on traumatic brain injury. It's called Padman, A Dad's Guide to Buying Those and Other Dad Tales. Welcome to the show, Mark.
Hi, how are you this morning?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks.
Great. It's fantastic to have you with us, and what an amazing story you have to tell everybody.
It's a pleasure to be here, and I'm excited to tell you.
So tell us, well, first of all, about your accident and what happened to you afterwards.
Kind of a bizarre situation that anyone can see it could happen to anyone. I don't remember any of it. My girlfriend at the time told me all the details, but I don't recall any of it. Well, we're going down the road, a car pulled out in front of us, hit that car, like 6:30 a.m., and hit that car, got out of the car, the kid that parked on the side of the road, the kid that pulled out in front of us, went back home across the street, called the cops, called the police, and I realized the hazard lights went on, so I went over, turned on my hazard lights, and some car flying down the road looked at the car and left in the turn lane. For some reason, he wasn't paying attention, and sideswiped my car, hit me, threw me up in the air. I landed on head first on the hood, and then on the windshield, and then head first on the pavement.
Gosh, good God. And afterwards, I mean, literally, was it the next day that the doctors told your parents that you wouldn't survive?
No, when they got there, I was in the hospital. Well, obviously, I was in the hospital. I was in a coma and life support. And they got there, and they called my girlfriend and my parents into a room and said, "Mr. Elswick, Jerry, if he has any brothers and sisters, get him up here because he won't make it through the day." And so they, of course, called, and then a lot of people showed up, which is really, it was cool. I mean, looking back, my aunt kept a log of everybody that went up there or sent food or gifts or anything, and it's pretty astounding. It was impressive. But anyway, they called people, and then everybody heard, and everybody came up there, and I wasn't supposed to make it through that day, and then I stayed alive, and then after a couple weeks, they took me off life support, and I was still in a coma for a couple more weeks, but I was off life support, and they said, "Well, if he ever does come out of a coma, he's going to be a vegetable, so get ready for it, completely dependent." And that's the main reason I started writing. I've always had a love for writing. Thank God, thank Medical Miracles, God, everything, that I didn't lose brain power, I guess. I lost some stuff, but the brain power is still there. And everybody likes to laugh, everyone. So I wrote Padman. It's a collection of 13 short stories, four of which are father-type stories, which have been compared to Pulitzer Prize-winning humor columnist Dave Barry, who is hilarious. And so I was very, very flattered when I was almost crying when I read that. That was awesome.
Yeah, no, but, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and then there are four other humorous stories. They're all true. They're all 100% true. And so that's eight humorous stories. And then there's one story of a day I spent in a cancer chemotherapy institute with cancer patients, talking to them and talking to nurses, talking to doctors. And I wrote a short story on that, what cancer patients need, your support. It was astounding, the number of, for instance, relationships that are lost because people are scared off by cancer and people are left to fight it alone. And it's pretty scary. But I wrote that. And then there are four, my passion, what I hold dear to my heart, is there are three stories of survival, traumatic brain injury survivors. And then the book closes with a brief letter, dear reader, from me to anyone. The letter and the preface of the book, if you read those, that explains why there's so much, why it's a humorous book, why a humorous book has such a sensitive subject like traumatic brain injury. And I think it makes sense, and that listeners, anyone, when they read that, then it will make sense to them.
We all like to laugh,
so it's comfortable.
Mark, I want to hear more about your recovery from when you came out of hospital. Did you have to sort of teach yourself how to do things again? I mean, how long did all of that take?
Yeah, it took a long time. I was in the hospital. I was in a coma for a month at Hurley Hospital, and my lawyer knew he was a friend. My friend's wife is a friend of her family. So he's a brain injury lawyer, and for the most part. And he knew I'd want out of the hospital, and my quickest chance to get out of the hospital was to be in a hospital that has an outpatient program. So with his help, he got me trained. Mr. Mike Rizek, with his help, he got me transferred to a different hospital, McLaren, and from there I was in Hurley for a month in a coma, then McLaren for two more months. Then I was released, but I had to go to outpatient therapy for a year, 2 years. Physical therapy, occupational therapy, social group therapy. There were a lot more. I don't remember them all, but all kinds of therapies. And not funny, but I remember, I'll never forget, the most painful thing I ever had to do. Physical therapy was hard. One of the most painful, no, probably the most painful thing I ever had to do, I had to stand against the rail. The wreck had snapped my shin in half, and I couldn't walk for a while. I was in a wheelchair for a long time, and then the physical therapist got me up to a walker, and then got me onto a cane, and then got my independence back, a lot of it. But he used to make me hang under the rail and just do squats, like squat my butt down, my ankles. And I had to do 10 of those, and by the time I got to 2, I was almost in tears.
Gosh.
I will never forget. That was the most painful thing ever. But there were all kinds of therapy I had to do. I had to relearn to walk, talk, eat, everything again.
And how difficult was all of that? I mean, was giving up ever an option?
No, and I never, probably my first memory in the hospital, I was in the hospital, and I've told people this quite a bit. A friend of mine, Ken Bales, he would come in, people would come see me, and he had a truck I knew. I don't know how I remember that, but he had a truck, and I wasn't joking. I was being dead serious. I've asked him about it recently, and he remembers. He said he just played along, and my parents were there, and he was just, but he had a truck, and he used to always say, Ken, I could barely talk. If you heard me talk, if I screamed, it'd be like that.
Yeah.
And I used to always tell him, hey, wheel me down, put me in the back of your truck, and take me home. I used to always tell him that. And anyone I was wanting out of there, out of the hospital, I wanted to leave. So it wasn't an option of, is it too hard, is it whatever. No, I have a lot to do, a lot to accomplish, a lot to give, and I couldn't do it in the hospital, but I couldn't do it. Trying to get better, I had to get out of the hospital and get home so I could start getting better.
Yeah. And just 2 years after your accident, you returned to college against your therapist's wishes. They said it was too early. You had a struggle at first, didn't you?
Yeah, big time. My grade point average dipped down to, I was at the University of Michigan point, and my grade point average dipped to 1.77. which was up or out status. And then if my grades didn't improve, I was checked out. And slowly they improved, but I ended up graduating with like a 2.5, nothing very exciting, but from where I was, that's pretty good. And I'd read one paragraph or I'd read one page and realize I it's hard to explain, but I could not concentrate. I had a little attention, very poor memory, all that. So it was quite a chore for at least a year, 2 years.
And now, with this book, this is your first book, and I say first because it's going to be the first of many. This is what you were born to do, do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I have my second book coming out in March of 2012, Traumatic Brain Injuries, Milestones in Recovery. And everything I write is going to be about hope. If you want doom and gloom, watch the news. You can see all the doom and gloom you want. But I will not write about death or negative issues, something that happened. We all know it's there, but I'm not going to write about it. Families, for instance, in my situation, like I was saying, I'm in the hospital. No one knows if I'm going to live, if I'm ever going to be able to breathe again on my own. They don't need, families, friends don't need to hear that stuff.
No.
They need to hear hope. Things like me, I'm not 100% of what I was, but I'd probably say I'm 80%. And that 80%, I'd say for a severe traumatic brain injury victim, 80% is probably about, it's got to be as high as you can hope for. So I'm pleased with where I'm at.
Definitely. No, so it should be. It's fantastic. And how is your daily life? Are you in any pain at all?
No, ma'am. Not at all. Everything's pretty much normal. No pain. I don't have a good memory. I never will. But you write things down. You learn a little tricks to help with that. Like I write daily planners, calendars. Of writing stuff down, you can help yourself overcome the things that are still hurting me.
Yeah.
I have no physical pain, but there are a lot of ways that you can overcome deficiencies. My speech is far from ideal, though. It's, as I described earlier, it's a million times better.
Mm.
But it'll never... It's been 19 years. I'm sure it'll never be better than it is right now. But that's fine. I mean, people can, for the most part, understand everything I say. And if you meet me in the road or walking on the street, you would never guess I had a brain injury. There are so many stereotypes, stigmas that are attached to brain injury, traumatic brain injury victims. And it's sad.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, your book definitely is going to help spread the word. It's called Padman, A Dad's Guide to Buying Those and Other Dad's Tales. We'll be putting it up on our website so listeners can get a copy from there. And if they want to find out more information about you and everything that you're doing, your website, www.markelswick.com. They can have a look on there. Mark, thank you so much for joining us, and congratulations with your book.
Thank you very, very much. It's been my pleasure. If there's one thing, is there any way I could I'll give a book to one of your listeners?
Yes, absolutely you could. I tell you what, I'll send you an email because we have a telethon coming up very soon where we auction items for charity for Kudeka, a cancer care hospice here. So we can sort that out. That would be lovely.
Awesome. Send me an email. I'll definitely send you a copy to one of your readers.
Fantastic.
You, and then you can do it. But don't ask, whoever wins it needs to email me and let me know what you thought.
Okay, that's part of the deal. You can write that in the book, no problem. Thanks,
perfect,
Mark. Take
perfect.
Care.
Bye-bye. All right, shoot me that email. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
All right,
bye.
Best of luck to you. All right.
A place to crash, I got you. No need to ask, I got you. I got you. Come and pick you up if I have to. What's weird about it is we're right at the end. Mad about it, just figured it out in my head. I'm proud to say I got you.